Welcome back to the game. What to pay attention to and what you can ignore in the spring game tomorrow. That list coming up at 5:10. The Chiefs' schedule was released last night, and it is a very interesting schedule with a lot of things to discuss. Normally, the Chiefs getting their schedule isn't really that big of a deal, but there are some significant points to make from it. Also, something Chiefs-related that has both Mitch and I very upset and has the Chiefs staring down a nomination for Jabroni of the Week next week, I would assume. We'll also talk to John Kurtz from Toyton Family Stadium ahead of tonight's game. If it has not been called at that point, I did hear during the break that there is a possibility that game will not be played as scheduled, which would create a very interesting situation tomorrow with K-State's spring game and then potentially needing to play a doubleheader. One of those games could be played at the same time, which could call Mitch into some baseball play-by-play duty.
Yep, probably.
That would be interesting. I mean, I don't know how many fans would be there because the spring game going on at the same time, but hopefully that's not a reality. Hopefully they are able to get the game in tonight. I saw this morning, and this is just a great piece that I really recommend. I really recommend that everyone checks this out at some point in time. But Kevin Haskin is a columnist for the Topeka Capital Journal and does a really great job covering K-State issues, KU issues, everything of that nature. And he wrote a great piece on Joanne Frederick, the longtime administrative assistant for Bill Snyder, essentially Bill Snyder's secretary, but she was here long before Bill Snyder even was. She retired last year after 42 years with the K-State football program, and just a great piece that details her day-to-day operations and how much she meant to the program, how much she means to Bill Snyder, the players, and everything like that. And I just wanted to bring this up because she is going to be honored at some point. I don't know if it'll be before the game or halftime or whatever, but at some point tomorrow during the spring game, she's going to be honored for all of her services to the K-State football program, and she deserves it because she's been there through it all, through the, as she said, the great times, or she said, she saw the good, the bad, the ugly, and the wonderful of K-State football, and she deserves to get just about as much recognition as Bill Snyder for how much she's truly put in terms of hours.
Coach brought up a story about her, not really a story, but just kind of how loved she was, not only just with people in the program, but people outside of the program as well, because he mentioned this. That, of course, Coach has a lot of boys around college football, right? He has a lot of friends. He's a popular guy. And when he would get a phone call, obviously that would go through her first, and then she would transfer it over to Coach. And he talked about how usually when he would have some friends call in or some big names once in a while, she would talk to them longer than Coach would. He mentioned like some coaches would call in sometimes just to check up on Coach, and she would talk to them for an hour, and then they would talk to Coach for about 5 minutes.
And she always had a large bowl of Werther's Originals on her desk, which was became pretty well known and synonymous with Bill Snyder. And there's a story in this piece about how the players would come into the complex, they'd get a hug from her, and they'd take a piece of candy. And it's just those simple things, those really neat little details that that make her special and make this story special. And I'm really glad that she's going to have the opportunity to get the respect and the applause and everything that she's earned so well over her 42 years of service to the K-State football program. So that'll be taking place at some point during tomorrow's spring game, and I'll certainly be paying attention to that. And I would be surprised if this weren't one of the very rare occasions in which media members applaud, because she did have to work with the media at times, and she was so well liked and respected by everyone in the media. If the press box applauds, that's a rarity, but I think that it may be fitting in this case.
Well, back in the previous Vanier Football Complex, when we would go in for Tuesday press conferences with Coach, her office was right by the Big Eight room is what they called it, and a lot of people would go in and say hi to her. I never met her. You know, I would never never got to know her. Unfortunately, I wish I did, because I didn't really know a whole lot about what she did, and she's basically Coach's right hand woman.
Yeah, yeah. I think that the title should be used, the godmother of K-State football, essentially is what she is and what she was. Now, on a little bit different note here, but also related to the spring game, yesterday, if you weren't listening to the show, and Mitch, you weren't here, we did our fantasy spring game draft, and John and I each drafted four players, you know, using the standard scoring system, 6 points for rushing or receiving touchdown, a point for every 10 yards rushing or receiving, 4 points for a passing touchdown, all of those things. And we had Brennan here since you weren't here, so that was kind of the auto draft, but Brennan drafted for you. And so you have been given a team here, and I want you to react to what your team is. And I want to go through the rosters here real quick. So John's team is Skylar Thompson, Justin Sillman, Corey Sutton, and Tyler Burns. My team is Alex Delton, Isaiah Zuber, Byron Pringle, and Mike McCoy. And your team is Hunter Hall, Alex Barnes, Winston Dimmel, and Carlos Strickland. Your reaction.
Now, most of that team, I don't mind. I like it. I don't like Hunter Hall being taken as the last pick, because at that point, you go with as many great athletes on K-State's roster as you can
possibly
think of.
Well, you had to, because you had to have a quarterback.
Oh, you have to?
Yeah.
I didn't know the rules of this draft.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
After I saw 1 and 2 with Skylar Thompson and Alex Delton, I'm throwing away the quarterback card. I'm going
to
run the ball a lot. And
yeah.
I'll just throw in somebody like, I thought Byron Pringle, just throw him back in there and play some quarterback.
I'm sorry, I didn't mention that to you, but yes, you had to have a quarterback, a running back, a wide receiver, and then a flex player, so that would be either one.
But Brennan, you can just go back to your Royals internship, because taking Carlos Strickland over Byron Pringle is silly, because Byron Pringle he's already proved that he's a pretty good wide receiver, and Carlos Strickland is just entering into the program.
Well, there has actually, I got Byron Pringle with my last pick, and the reason why he was still there was because there is some belief that he may not play tomorrow due to a little injury situation. So I'm kind of putting all my eggs in one basket with that. He may play and be really good, or I may get a goose egg out of that. We'll have to see if he plays. But yeah, that's the hard part about doing this draft, is there are several different players. I believe that Dominique Heath is probably not going to play in this game. We don't know about Byron Pringle. Obviously, Jesse Ertz isn't playing in the game, so that changes things a little bit. But that's how Byron Pringle slid down the draft board. It wasn't like he had a red flag with him or something like that, as they're talking about on ESPN right now. We're less than a week away from the start of the real NFL draft, but does that make you feel any better?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's whatever.
This is a very important thing.
Well, I saw John was trying to get attention by taking Skylar over Alex for the first pick.
I think that that's the smart play, just because in the spring game, the quarterbacks can't really run because it's two-hand touch on them. So I think that he has the better quarterback option in terms of who's going to score more fantasy points. But I like my team. I'm really curious to see what Mike McCoy does, and that's one of the things we're going to talk about more at 5:10, the things to watch and the things that you can ignore from the spring game. But one to watch is going to be Mike McCoy, because if he is really, really impressive, you have to start wondering if there's a possibility that he could take a few of the carries away from Alex Barnes and Justin Sillman, who you would presume to be running backs 1 and 2, and get his own carries into that mix. And I think that that can only be a good thing for K-State if Mike McCoy is going to be that impressive. And it sounds like he's been lighting things up all spring.
I got distracted by some Royals news here. Bonifacio going to be starting in right field tonight.
Oh, he is?
Eighth.
Yeah. Okay.
I just saw
batting
that.
Eight.
So I beg your pardon.
No,
didn't mean
that's
to get
right.
off topic there, but I got distracted.
That's all right. Now we are off topic. I'm just reacting to that. I think that that's probably what they want to try to get away with doing for the next week until Jorge Soler can come up. They're going to see if that can work out. Bonifacio has been decent in the field in his minor league career, so we'll have to, but it's not really in the field that we're worried about. It's can he come in and actually hit the ball a little bit.
Oh yeah, offensively they need his help. Well, yeah. And another thing, I mean, Drew Butera going to be catching. He'll be batting ninth, and Perez will be DHing again.
Oh, okay.
So it's a little bit of a shakeup. Nothing too crazy, but
yeah.
I'm kind of excited for Bonifacio, man. This is a big chance for him.
Yeah,
he was according to Pipeline, MLB Pipeline or whatever. He's the number 8 prospect for the Royals.
Okay.
So this is a big call up for him.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch him because. And again, we're straying further and further from K-State football in this segment, but that's fine.
Hey, Royals play tonight.
Yeah,
it's important tomorrow.
It's important because if the Royals are going to be good for the next several years, you know, this is part of that next wave. I mean, we are probably going to say goodbye to Eric Hosmer at the end of this year. Could be a couple of other players that are going to be free agents, and the Royals will not be able to re-sign. So if they are going to be good for a while, it's going to be because of players like Jorge Bonifacio coming up and having success at the major league level. We're going to head to our next break here on the show. When we come back, in speaking of the Royals, it was a lot of fun for me being at Kauffman Stadium earlier this week and seeing the Royals beat Madison Bumgarner in person. Well, now Madison Bumgarner is on the disabled list. This coming out about an hour ago. But how he got to the disabled list has him looking down the barrel of a Jabroni of the Week nomination, I can tell you that. We'll tell you how it all happens coming up next on The Game.